It's All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. This Sunday and Monday, legendary drummer Harvey Mason is back, doing dates at the Blue Note with his Chameleon Project. And he calls the band that for good reason, because he's done a lot of sessions with a who's who of musicians, and appearing on classics like Herbie Hancock's Headhunters, even co-writing the song Chameleon on that, and taking his skills, backed by incredible music schooling, to heights that have included Frank Sinatra, Seal, Carlos Santana, and many, many, many others. We'll hear, as we say, a big aloha to Harvey Mason.
Aloha. Aloha to you.
Now, with these Chameleon shows, you've done so many things over such an incredibly inspiring career. You went to two of the biggest music schools, Berklee College of Music and the New England Conservatory, around the corner from each other in Boston, sort of solidifying an already happening career.
That's interesting that you say that, because 13 and a half, 14, I was playing professionally. But playing and becoming a musician didn't really cross my mind. I thought I'd be something like a doctor or a lawyer is what I had set on. But I read an article in Downbeat magazine about studio musicians who went to work. They wore a tie every day, and they just worked with all different kinds of music, and a light bulb went off that that's what I wanted to do. I had already applied to go to college, so then I thought about, I wanted a school that had a lot of practical knowledge. They taught practical music, Berklee, pop music and R&B and jazz and all that, so I said, that's where I want to go. So I went there, but it wasn't accredited, and while I was there, I was the education major, I was trying to hedge my bets. So I did three semesters, and then I was invited to join New England Conservatory with a full scholarship, and it was fully accredited. So naturally, I went there, and I graduated from there.
And played Paul's Mall and the Jazz Workshop and stuff, right?
I played those places while I was in college.
And Fred Taylor, was he booking those things?
Fred Taylor was one of my biggest advocates. Fred was hiring me from the very beginning of my time there. He helped me out. He helped me get through college because I was paying my own way.
And there's another big Boston cat that, especially if you look at drumsticks, you see the name Vic Firth, and you...
Oh.
You worked with the guy. Talk about that and explain for people his importance.
Well, Vic Firth was and is one of the best timpanists that ever played the instrument. And he played in the Boston Symphony for over 50 years. I think he went in when he was 20 or 21. It just so happened when I went to New England Conservatory, he was teaching there. He was the head teacher there. And generally, you had to audition to get him. But when I went to school there, Gunther Schuller, who was the president, told Vic Firth that he was going to teach me. And Vic said, everyone auditions for me. And Gunther said, you're going to teach this guy. So I went in for my first lesson. We hit it off right away. He became one of my best friends and biggest advocates, recommended me for a lot of things, and I learned so much from him about classical music. When I graduated, I was prepared to join an orchestra. He said, you should do what you set out to do, which is the studio work. I wanted to play in the studios. We had a great relationship, and he suddenly died 2 years ago. Really, really sad. Quite unexpected. But great, great guy, an incredible musician.
It's a beautiful tribute.
But you know it. You know the area for school. You've named the people that are really, really meant a lot in the places of Paul's Mall. And, oh, my gosh.
You mentioned it several times, and it's important to go over it. This is a cat, again, Harvey Mason, who's going to be doing some gigs at the Blue Note with his Chameleon Project that he's got. And he is, if you've already detected through talking to him, a human chameleon. He's done all these different sessions. That was your goal a long time ago. I want to drop a few of these names from your bio, and they're not in order. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire, That's the Way of the World.
Oh, you know what? During those times, I was playing a lot of percussion. I'm playing percussion on all those records. When I first moved to L.A., they saw me on one date, and they started calling me. I mean, I was playing with Joy Shang, and the music director on the show was in the audience, and he hired me on that show to play Lucille Ball's show.
You were the percussionist on her show?
Percussion on that show, yeah. It wasn't live. We recorded everything, but it was great.
What years approximately is this?
1970, 1971.
What was she like to be around up close?
I wouldn't say I was up close. The only time I'd be up close with her was in the beginning, I played a couple of rehearsal gigs, but after that, I was never around her. We did the music separately. All we saw was video.
I get you.
We had no interaction with them at all.
Now, some of these other cats, how about Barbara Streisand?
Live recording. I did a few records with her. And she was there, and she sang live. As a matter of fact, I didn't take many pictures or anything. A lot of guys took pictures. I just was into just making the best music and playing as good as I possibly could was my goal. I didn't have that much interaction with her. But she was there, and she knew who I was at the time, so...
How about the Frank Sinatra aspect of your resume?
Oh, well, boy, I've worked with him a few times. I guess one of the most fun times I had working with him was we were doing a Sammy Davis special, and I was playing with Frank. I knew what the music was going to be, so for lunch I went out to Tower Records and bought the record so I could hear what was on it. So for this particular gig, because I was playing for Sinatra, I went out to check out the music. And Sonny Payne was playing on it, and it was a great chart. So we ran the rehearsal. He's standing in front of the band, we ran the rehearsal, and there's this one fill that Sonny Payne played on the record. And I played that fill, and Frank Sinatra turned around and gave me the thumbs up for the whole band. That was my great moment with Sinatra. It was unbelievable. That validated the work I did and how conscientious I was.
That's a great story. And the godfather of funk, the new heavy minister of the super funk.
James Brown. I've been listening to him for many years. Chuck Rainey and myself were called to do a session with him and his band. I don't know why his drummer and bass player weren't there. But we were there, and we did the whole record. You know what? I don't have the record, but I think it was Slaughter, the movie Slaughter. But it was a great session. He played organ, and he directed the band. He told everyone what to play.
He was fun to work with, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was a great experience, a highlight to get to work with the Godfather.
I bet.
It really was.
Dionne Warwick is on your... We just had her on the show a couple times this year. She actually played where you're playing.
Well, I've always admired Dionne, and I remember seeing her as a kid. Loved the songs that she did with Burt Bacharach. And eventually I met her, and she invited me to Vegas to watch she and Burt Bacharach playing together. And she knew I was producing records, and she asked me if I would produce a song for her. It was a Sting tune.
Fragile?
Fragile, yes. And we remain tight. She's a great lady.
And how about Carlos Santana?
Oh, that was a funny story. I got called to do a Carlos Santana record, late 70s, early 80s. And I walked into the studio up in San Francisco, and who do I see but Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, Wayne Shorter. Right away, I'm probably more nervous than I've ever been, because my goal when I was younger was to take Tony Williams' place with Miles. So we sat down, and Wayne had written all the music. Now, I had a relationship. I had a great relationship with Ron. I worked with him a lot. We traveled together, and Herbie, of course, I did the headhunting stuff. I was very comfortable with Herbie. So when I went in the studio, I hadn't spent much time around Wayne, and Wayne was always very cryptic to me. He was always mysterious. So he'd written the music, and I went in, and that added to the mystique for me, and I just became really, really, really nervous, probably nervous than I'd ever been on a session.
Wow.
And so we were running music down, and we took a break, and then Ron came over to me, and he said, Herbie, if they wanted Tony Williams, they would have called him, because he lives right up the street in Marin County. They called you to play your stuff.
That's so good.
Isn't that a wild story? And that set me free.
That's a great, great moment. And Herbie, you had done the Headhunters record in 74, right?
Yep. I was a co-writer of Chameleon, so that's why it's even more fitting that I...
use that as a band name.
Yes.
What would you say was a most challenging one?
One of the sessions that probably baffled me the most was probably Steely Dan. And after one day, I didn't want to do it anymore because it was too intense. We didn't get anything. We didn't record anything. I was used to really being successful, and we never got anything. You know, I was a great musician, so I bailed after one day. My patience wasn't as good as it needed to be in order to do those sessions. So.
And before we wrap it up, Seal, Kiss from a Rose, you're on that track.
I did the whole record. They called me. Matter of fact, when I got called, I didn't even know who Seal was or what a Seal was. So I played it cool. And the producer I'd heard of, Trevor Horn. And so when I got off the phone, I said to my son, I said, who's a Seal? I never heard of a Seal. What's a Seal? And they told me. So I didn't even know what it was. But it was great. I went there and I recorded at Real World Studios where... Peter Gabriel's studio, his complex. I stayed there. It was so much fun. And Seal and I drove back to another place, and he and I and his Porsche, I had a great time. I never went on the road with him, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? Sounds like you were on the road with Seal after driving in his Porsche.
You're right.
It's Harvey Mason, and hopefully we'll get a chance to say hi to you while you're in town at the Blue Note, and I really do appreciate you taking time to be on the show with me, man. I hope this was fun.
Well, Dave, thank you very much, and you really pulled some out of the hat, because I had forgotten a lot of this, but it's been great. I'll see when I'm there.
I look forward to it.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
There is so much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows